Tonight's study is going to focus on winning the battle inside me. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for allowing us to study your word. We praise your name, dear Lord God, for the love that you give to us. And we ask, Father, that you will just give us the wisdom to properly show your love to a lost and dying world. I ask that in Jesus' name, amen. There are three enemies that are warring against us. It not only wars against, but I mean takes a toll on your family. Anything that takes a toll on your family takes a toll on you, right? Our relationships matter. Our relationships, from a Christian standpoint, is when my brother or sister is weeping, so will I. When they're praised, then so will I. And our soul, the enemies, war against me individually, my family, and my spirit, my soul. You say, well, that's all one, isn't it? No, it isn't. Let's go. The world, that's one of the enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Sound like a movie somewhere. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is the value system around you. And I'm talking about with the folks that you hang out with, or even within the family. It's the value system that is set for you and your relationship to the world. And every one of us will understand that when one of us talks about how we deal with the world, the other says, well, I deal with the world this way. There are a multiplicity of personalities and all that we deal with. And each of us, though, understand there's a value system there. You get with folks that were raised in alcoholism. They think, and many families believe, okay, then that means I'm going to be an alcoholic. Many kids will jump into that. They become whatever their surrounding little world is. The flesh is the old nature inside of us. One of the most foolish acts as Christians that we can do is to pretend like that the old nature no longer controls us. The old nature does not control us as long as we are allowing Christ of our new nature to be a part of us continually. The devil, that's Satan and his demons. Do we receive attacks? Sure. But again, remember, even if Satan is chained for the 1,000 years that he will during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, at the end of the 1,000 years, an army is built that goes against Christ. So what was going on all of those hundreds of years? Satan has a way of being such a part of our life that when he's on vacation, we just complete the journey that he's always given us. Very dangerous. The cost of the battle. Here are the six emotional consequences as we fight the battle for dealing with the world of flesh and the devil. Consequence number one, confusion. Anybody ever get confused? Have you noticed? I get excited when there might be a short time period in my life where I'm not confused. The rest of the time, you know, I'm thinking, why did that happen? What happened here? What did I do wrong? I thought that's what I was supposed to do. Confusion, Romans 7:15. Now listen to Paul, the Apostle Paul's cry, and his cry and the lessons he's going to give us focus on exactly the same things that are going on with each one of us. Romans 7:15. Paul says, I don't understand myself at all. Anybody ever say that? Yeah, I say it, and Faye says, I don't understand you either. Come up here, and Debbie says, I don't understand you either. So I found out that when we have noticed that we don't understand ourselves, nobody else does. Do you ever have your spouse say, I just don't understand you at all? And then later on you say the same thing to them. Why do you do the things you do? Well, folks, I never have an answer for that. I don't know what makes me the way that I am, except I'm an individual saved by grace. But Paul says, I don't understand myself at all. For I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to, what I hate. Now, that gets deep, doesn't it? Paul was a deep thinker. Paul was a mess. He's a bigger mess as most of us. He just could not get it right. He understood the love of God. Look at all the studies we have that we use the Apostle Paul. And as Paul goes along, he's saying, I don't even know how I'm in existence. If it weren't for Christ, I'd have no hope. Okay, consequence number two of the emotional battles we go through. Guilt and shame. Romans 7:16. Paul is saying, I know perfectly well that I am doing what I am doing is wrong. And my bad conscience proves that I agree with these laws that I am breaking. So again, we're understanding that Paul wants to give us a lesson in life. God is giving him the wisdom to broadcast to us in the writings that there's nothing new under the sun. And when young Christians or when people accept Christ, too many think everything's got to be perfect. And if I'm not perfect in serving the Lord, then I must not really be a Christian. But when you read from the prophets, you read Apostle Paul, Peter, anyone of the great warriors for God, you will find that they're going through the same questions and problems that all of us do. Consequence number three, compulsions and addictions. The greatest addiction you and I will ever have to deal with in our life is the addiction of self, self-gratification. If it's for me, we ought to do this. But if it's for you, no, you really need to think about it. That's narcissism. That's a focus of, as long as I'm happy, the rest of you need to be happy. But if you're not, no big deal. Compulsion and addiction. Romans 7:17. Paul is saying, but I can't help myself because I'm no longer doing it. It is sin inside me that is stronger than I am. That makes me do these evil things. Now, people say, well, Paul is using that as a crutch. Paul is teaching us something. And we get the summation of his teachings as we go along. Paul is saying, this is what's going on with me. Now remember, Paul, like the other disciples, he met Jesus face to face on the road to Damascus for him. But all of the other disciples of Christ laughed with him, prayed with him. At points they didn't fall asleep. And they personally had a relationship with Jesus, watched him after the resurrection. And still, they had a horrible time dealing with the compulsions of life and the addictions of life. Again, mainly focused on who I am and who everybody else is really doesn't matter. Consequence number four is self-condemnation. You will always be the hardest person on you. You will always come down harder on yourself than anybody else. Half the time, what I try to tell Christians a lot of times, look, they say, well, everybody, you know, I know everybody's going to be looking at me because of what I've done. And I said, let me tell you something. They're not going to be looking at you because of what you've done, because they're too busy trying to hide and deal with what they have done. And then you walk into a room and you think, everybody, you know, they spoke to me and they smiled. They must know something. No, they don't. They're in the dark just like we are about everybody else. Now, you do have some that if it's not true, then they'll make something up about you. You can't stop that. Self-condemnation. Listen to Paul, and I wanted you to have the Message version. I know that I am rotten inside as far as my old sinful nature is concerned. We still have the two natures. The old things pass away, all things become new. That is the gift of God in our new nature, but we're still in this body. As long as we're in this body, we'll deal with the compulsions, the addictions, and we'll deal with self-condemnation. Do you know that self-condemnation is as much of a sin as a lot of the other sins for a Christian? If I condemn myself, and then what I'm saying is, and you know, let's say that I make this statement. I am so rotten, I can't even believe that I'm a Christian. Did you accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Well, yeah, I know I accepted Jesus. Then is there anything more than the blood of Christ when you said yes to him? Is there anything more that's added to your salvation? No. Then do you not step in the blood of Christ and the gift of the freedom of life eternal that he has given us? Do you not stomp in his blood when you bring condemnation against yourself by saying, I must not even be a Christian? A lot of folk wrestle with this. How can I be a Christian and do these things? Well, you can be a Christian and do those things by saying yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and believing that he died on the cross for you. And then realization sets in that your human nature is always at war with your spiritual nature. So, therefore, we're not there yet, folks. God's still working on us. At what point then is the separation made? At the time that you and I fly away. That's when the ride comes in. And the old sinful body is dead, along with the sinful nature. The sinful nature is in the human existence, not in the spiritual existence. God didn't make a mistake when he says that he knew us before we were ever conceived, when he knew that we would be born and when. That's the spiritual us. Why do we then have to do all of this stuff? I don't know. The Lord says it's training for our service to him. And the older you get, and the closer you get with the pain and all to death, and the more you think, hey, Lord, I've got eternity to look forward to. Consequence number five is frustration. You get frustrated more with yourself than you will others. Romans 7, the second part of 18 through 20. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Now, if I am doing what I don't want to do, it is plain where the trouble is. Sin still has me in its evil grasp. There will never be a time in your life to where you will not have to, any of us will have not have to fight against the human part. It's there. The battle is raging. Doesn't make me less of a Christian when I mess up. What it does, it makes me hard on myself and I get frustrated. But there again, How many young Christians, young people that have accepted Christ, have you noticed that when they will come into church, they accept Christ and they're fired up, ready to go, and then as soon as something happens and they stumble or they go into the ditch and try to get out of it, and they quit God? Well, I can't do this. It is the ride. It is the total battle of life. And we, as Christians, need to pick ourselves up in every situation and keep going. Well, will we still do what Paul's saying has gone on with him? Yes. Here's the good part. It only bothers a Christian. There's the proof of your Christianity. When you're frustrated with yourself, you would not be unless you're a Christian. It would bother enough non-believers that all of us know. Have you ever stopped and looked and realized they don't care? They don't care what you think. They don't care what the world thinks. And they don't care what God thinks, because they don't believe anyway. Consequence number 6, it always comes after getting frustrated, discouragement and despair. That's the almost just kicked in, folks, to the gloom and despair song from, what was that? Hee Haw. Yeah, I remember that, but I won't. Discouragement and despair. Romans 7, verses 21 through 23, Paul says again, it seems to me, it seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, inevitably do what is wrong. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead, I find myself still enslaved to sin. Therefore, we understand the human nature, the conquering of sin. Sin was conquered by Christ. Our battle is always with the real us in here and the nature. At no point will you ever find in Scripture, whether Paul said it or anyone else, that after a person had accepted Christ, when he went into Corinth, remember? And I mean, he was like a wildcat with his tail in a trap. So he went in Corinth and he said, you Christians are, you ought to be, you're worse than the infidel. Not one time did he say, you're not a Christian. What he was saying was, you people are in a mess. And look at the churches today. We're in a mess. The greatest mess we're in today, what is it? The gospel of Jesus Christ being watered down. The truth. How do we deal with life if we don't face the truth of life? And the truth is, for each one of us as Christians, we know that we're saved and we know that we're messed up. The ones that you need to be careful with are those who let you know, as the guy came in my office and said, you know, chaplain, ever since I've been saved, I've never sinned. Now, that's much more of a dangerous personality for you to be around than the guy out there in the ditch of life, drunk, recognizing their what's going on in their life. Here's the cause. We have two natures. Romans 7, 22 through 23. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. But there is something else deep within me. Every one of us can relate to this. Deep within me, in my lower nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Again, the question arises, why? I thought when I gave my heart to Christ that then I would get to serve him and I wouldn't have to worry about sin stuff. And then you realize, 3 minutes after you've accepted Christ, Why did that thought go through my mind? Why did this go through my mind? What, gosh, you know, what is going to happen? Now, that is Satan. Satan trying to discourage the Christians. Romans 7:24. So, you see how it is. My new life tells me to do right. But the old nature that is still inside me loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. The old English is, this is where he said, oh, what a wretched man am I. God's battle plan for our victory. Let's look at it. You ready? Number one, we must deepen our understanding of Christ. You and I focus way too much time trying to understand ourselves. You're not going to understand you. Nobody else is going to understand you except for God. But we spend all that time, okay, let me try to understand why I do this. Here's the plan. We must deepen our understanding of Christ, who he is, and his love, than who we are. We already know we're messed up. Paul already knew it. So he's focusing now on understanding who Christ is in us. Romans 7:24-25. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? That was his question. And then he answers, thank God. The answer is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, he just said, you see all of these faults that I have? I'm admitting them. And then now when I understand more of about who Christ is within me, it is through him that I can find the peace. Romans 6:12-13. Do not let sin control the way you live. Now, what's the difference? The individual allowing the sin to control every aspect. Now, how do you know that that's not happening with you? Because you care. And because you're aggravated at yourself. And because you're wanting to follow Christ, you have the desire, and in him you have the hope. When he's talking about do not let sin control the way you live, do not give in to its lustful desires. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, since you have been given new life. Meaning, focus more on Christ and who he is than on our foolishness. People say, well, that's a cop-out. You really have to face yourself. Okay, how many times when you faced yourself did it work? Then why do we keep in the same ditch? It's because we are to give ourselves completely to God. I have a hard time doing it. The reason we have a hard time doing it, we want to be in control. That's the human nature. We don't like people telling us what to do. So therefore, we fall victim to us, ourselves. I fall victim to me. And I find that I am my own worst enemy. Romans 8:2. For the new spiritual principle of life in Jesus Christ. Now here's the lifter. Life in Jesus Christ lifts me out of the old vicious cycle of sin. The ultimate of the Christian's life is to be delivered from the presence of sin. See, we will be in the presence of sin as long as we're here in this body. Only at the point, and it's the presence of sin that makes us do, as Paul says, what we don't want to do. Battle plan for victory number two is we must detect and disarm the lie we are believing. 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be, listen to this lie, of all the things that we could be told in Scripture, listen to the lie that is hurting us more than any sin or anything else within our life. 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So therefore, a person professing to be a Christian who says they don't sin is an individual where the truth is not in them. The truth, anytime you see that, the truth is Christ. Christ is the truth. So we will deceive ourselves in saying, well, I don't do that anymore. Did you think about doing it? Here's another foolish one. You know, it's just as much of a sin to think about it as falling through with it. Well, when it comes to my relationship with each individual, and I know I have certainly built up the enemies over the years, but I'd much rather them thinking about killing me than to follow through with it. And to me, there's a difference there, right? You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. One of my chaplain friends said, what does that mean? I don't know. I just know how to tell it. Behind every self-defeating act is a lie that we have believed, right? I have really trouble with this part of my life, and I've noticed I must get it honest from my mother, but I have this in my life that I think, okay, Larry, you can do this. I mean, you can get out there and you can tussle with the most hardcore criminal there is, and even right now, you'll be able to put them up against a wall and you'll be able to stop them. And you ought to try that. No, you can get up and you can run that 2 mile a day till you get up and finally I've got to the point of saying, that was a dumb move, Vance. Don't get up so fast. You're going to keep getting dizzy. But our minds tell us, oh, what's the country song? Well, anyway, we think we can do a lot of things at our age because we did it when we were younger. Okay, you're not young anymore. Any of us. To stop defeating ourselves, we must stop deceiving ourselves. Listen to John 8:32. When you know the truth will set you free. Okay? Remember, who's the truth? Jesus. I know the truth, and the truth will set me free. At one point, at a certain time in my existence here, I will be set free. What is that setting free? Well, I'm already set free according to Christ saying you can count it as though you're already there. But I will be set free from the burdens of life when I leave this body, this human existence. Number three, the last one. We must declare our struggle to another. Can you admit you're messed up? Nothing is going to straighten out in our life if we do not recognize that it's messed up. James 5:16. Remember, James. This James is a half-brother to Jesus. He says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Confess your sin. You all have heard me say that many times. Confess your sins to each other. That means you're confessing what you see as a sin you committed against a fellow man. They know it. You go and you talk to them. Not start telling everybody all of the thoughts you have and all of the bad things that you have done in your life. That's not the confessing that needs to take place. Each of us must pray for one another. But we pray for one another. I don't have to know, nor do you have to know, what's going on in my life or me in your life All we are supposed to be able to do is ask our fellow man, fellow Christian, to pray for us. Don't tell it, because Satan will use it. Even though it's out of your life, even though you just had the thought and that was it, people will turn on you and they will use your confession to for ill means. People say, "I love you" today. A lot of the ones who said, "Jesus, I love you," they were the very group that was standing by the in front of the judgment by saying, "Crucify him." Same ones. Galatians 5:16. Live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't do what your sinful nature craves. All right. This is what God has given us, what Paul has given us to the Romans and to the church of Galatia. What he is saying is, this is how it really works. But also what he's saying is, our battle is continual. As long as we're in this body, we will never reach that. But he said, I want you to know you're in Christ, and it is in Christ that will ultimately save you. So the salvation process continues. Past, present, and future. We need saving every day. And the greatest salvation for each day is we're saved from ourselves. And eventually, we will see the truth of Christ. And he has looked at us and he said, simply believe. But when you lift up the name of Christ, instead of blaming him for the problem, instead of saying, God, where were you? My child would not have died, and all of this, blaming God, big sin.